Before we look at God's Word, let's pray again. Father, for Your presence, we thank You. And Lord, for Your, Lord Jesus, for Your resurrection, we celebrate and we marvel. And God, thank You for giving us teaching in Your Word that explains what it all means. And God, thank You that Your Spirit's here this morning to take Your Word and help it make sense to us as we consider Your resurrection and how, God, You want it to change our lives. Father, by Your Spirit, make this very practical to us today. Father, thank You that You're the ultimate teacher in this room this morning. And God, for each and everyone here, thank You that You know the hearts, You know the minds. God, You know some here that I've not even met yet. You know them inside and out. Father, You know exactly how Your Word needs to be brought to bear in their lives. So God, You speak and You teach. We open Your Word together. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we begin this morning, for the purposes of the recording, and also you'll see it on the sermon on the website later, but this sermon is adapted from someone else's sermon. I rarely do that, many of you know, but this is adapted from a sermon from Pastor Rick Warren. The night before Jesus Christ was crucified, He made a very strange statement, according to the Scriptures, that nobody who heard it really understood. He said, "In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you're going to see me because I'm alive and you're about to come alive." John chapter 14, verse 19. What in the world did he mean? "In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you're going to see me because I'm alive and you're about to come alive." Truly, his hearers had to wonder, what's he talking about? They're thinking, we're already alive. Easter, you see, is about coming alive, isn't it? Jesus Christ proved who He was when He said, "I'm God. I'm going to let them kill me on a cross. I'm going to be buried in a tomb for 3 days. And then I'm going to bring myself back to life to prove that I am who I say I am." And He did just that. But the rest of the verse that I read just a minute ago is the part of the Easter story that many don't understand. Jesus said, "And you're about to come alive." Jesus' resurrection was intended, listen, to radically change your life and how you live it. In fact, I just happen to believe that the reason you're here on this Easter Sunday morning, 2009, is so that you can hear and understand these words of Jesus from John chapter 10, verse 10. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Jesus said, "My purpose is to give life in all its fullness." Jesus takes the whole of His life, from His birth through His death, and all the way through the resurrection, the crowning work of Christ, on Easter Sunday morning, He says, "My purpose is to give life in all its fullness." To give it to who? To us. To all who will take it, the Bible says. From the Message, it's found this way. "I came so they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of." Jesus' resurrection means you can live your life fully alive. Can you honestly say this morning that you feel like that you're living your life fully alive? You're getting all that you can get out of it. You have all that inwardly you need. You feel completely satisfied and fulfilled in life as it's being lived today. Can you honestly say that? Well, what does it mean to live fully alive? You know, many people confuse living life in all its fullness or living fully alive with living the good life or even with having a full life. But there's a big difference. You know, I know many people who live the good life. They have all the stuff and they do all the right things that you're supposed to do, and they live in those right houses in the right places and enjoy the right jobs. But you know what? They're miserable. Inside, they're unhappy and exhausted and empty. Even enslaved to all of the good life. Right? Yesterday, Robin and I had a real opportunity. A friend at another church here in town gave us, we had the opportunity to enjoy the beautiful day yesterday at the Masters at Augusta National Golf Course. I don't know if you've ever been there. If you've been there, raise your hand. What a beautiful place. It's amazing. I hate driving. That's my wife. I hate making trips. I hate the getting there part. It was worth the 3.5 to 4 hour ride beginning at about 5:30 yesterday morning, half of which I don't even remember. It was worth it just to see the beauty of that place. We were amazed at God's creation, taken and manicured in the way that they've done there. We enjoyed the azaleas and the dogwoods and the green fairways, and we were surrounded by hundreds of people. I mean, they were everywhere. Some are like us, riding in on the privilege of someone else. I told Robin, they're just like us. They don't have any business being here either. But others were wealthy and living the good life. But it would no doubt stun us all to be able to be there at the Masters, and the final round probably already started this morning, and to be able to see inside of some of the hundreds of people there. Wealthy. Living the good life. They didn't ride in on somebody else's stuff. They earned their position at the club. But inside, and to look and see and find out how many are exhausted and empty and even enslaved to all that they outwardly enjoy. How many are addicted to alcohol and drugs? How many go home to broken families, though it be housed in an amazing home? How many are involved in even abusive relationships, both sides of the abuse? Or whose lives are eaten up by greed and covetousness and so forth? Don't get me wrong, you could look around maybe this room and see the same thing. We're not picking on the rich folks, but I'm just making the point that the good life is not the answer. The good life is not living life in all its fullness. It's not living fully alive. You say, well, Chad, none of us are anywhere close to the Master's quality of lifestyle, so what are you talking to us about this? You know what? How many of you, don't raise your hand, how many of you, and the fact is, it's okay, we could because we need to all raise our hand. How many of you, though, at times, at some point, wished you were like that? That's why we bring it up here. Amen? We think, even if we're not there, that if we could get to the good life, we'd be fully alive. Well, what does it mean, according to Jesus, according to the Word of God, to live fully alive? I want you to notice three aspects of living fully alive that Jesus offers. First of all, Jesus offers me a life full of meaning. A life full of meaning. Listen, the greatest tragedy in life is not death. How many of you want to die? How many of you dread dying? Oh, come on. I mean, nobody wakes up and says, boy, I hope I die today. There's a certain amount of dread of death in all of us, even if we know our future in heaven. Because it's unknown. It's unfamiliar. We are alive. What does it mean to die? That's just honest, right? So the greatest tragedy in life, though, is not death. It's to go through your entire life without knowing why you're living. To live your life without meaning and purpose. To live without knowing why God put you here on earth. That's the greatest tragedy in life. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, Paul says, for you died when Christ died, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your real life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all His glory. There's a lot in those two verses, and we could take the rest of our time just talking about that, but just boiling it down, Jesus offers me a life of full meaning. See, when Jesus died on the cross, He died for me. And when He rose again for me to give me a life full of meaning, to join me to Himself, and to give me a great life here and now, walking daily with Him. And ultimately, remember, my life is hid with Christ in God. Ultimately, being with God, being with Jesus in heaven forever. He gives me a life full of meaning here because it's attached to an eternal life in heaven. Listen real close to what I'm about to say. If what you do in this life doesn't have an attachment to eternity, listen to me, it's worthless. If you're dead, and what comes after it doesn't affect your living, if there's not a meaning connected between after death and today, what are we doing? Because this life is not all, folks. Hey, you're going to die. The day will come, I will pass away, as we say. And I'm not just going to be gone. I'm going to spend eternity somewhere. Because I trust Christ, I'll spend it with Him. Jesus offers me a life full of meaning. Also, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Peter says, because Jesus was raised from the dead Easter Sunday morning, we've been given a brand new life and have everything to live for, including a future in heaven, and the future starts now. Peter said it better than I can say it. Reckon?
Why from the Bible, isn't it?
We've been given a brand new life where we walk as the sons and daughters of God, forgiven. We'll talk more about that in a minute. And we have everything to live for, listen, including the future in heaven, and the future starts now. We have everything to live for now because we're going to heaven. We're going to be with God forever. The world won't tell you this, because the world won't be honest with you. But I'm going to tell you the truth right now. You ready? You'll never be happy living for yourself. You weren't made to live for yourself. In fact, the more self-centered you are, the more miserable you'll become.
Amen.
And here's the deal. You say, Chad, I don't know about that. I'm kind of enjoying it. Okay, just keep going. Get back to me. As we say around the house, good luck with that. When you start living for God, that's when you discover real happiness, real meaning, real significance, real purpose, real value to your life, because you're not just living for petty little you. I'm not just living for petty little me. I'm living for big old God, listen, who is beyond this life, with whom I can be past my death. The beginning of living fully alive is when you stop living for you and start living for God. You know, in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 15, Paul says, He died for everyone, speaking of Jesus here, so that those who receive His new life will no longer live to please themselves. Instead, they will live to please Christ, who died and was raised for them. He didn't go to the cross and rise on Easter Sunday so you and I could notice that historical event and keep doing what we want to do. He bought us, folks. He died for us that we might die to our old way of life and start living a new way, a life of meaning. And He offers that gift to us this morning. You see, our own sin and selfishness keep us enslaved to purposes and goals that are short-sighted and last for only for our short lifetimes, if that long. How many of you had broken dreams? How many of you had plans that failed? How many of you had ideas that went down the tubes, right? Your goals, your short-sighted dreams, sometimes they don't even last a lifetime. But even if they do, then you die. What comes of it then? We were created to live for something that's eternal, for something that will long outlive us, for something that will continue to matter, listen, forever. Forever. That something is the glory of God who made it all. Our lives are to be lived fully alive. with real meaning and purpose that comes from living for God's glory. Over in 1 Corinthians 15, which by the way is the flagship passage in all of Scripture on the resurrection. In 1 Corinthians 15, at the end of that chapter, verse 58, Paul says, in light of the fact that Jesus rose from the dead, which means you and I can be saved, forgiven, and given life eternal. We can be risen one day and have life with God forever in heaven. In light of that, here's what Paul says. So my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and steady, always enthusiastic about the Lord's work, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Why? Because Jesus rose from the dead. And that is our ticket, our salvation, and it is our doorway to everlasting life in heaven. Therefore, Jesus offers me a life full of meaning. Whatever I do for God, it's never useless because I'm going to be with Him forever. And it'll bring glory to Him even in eternity. You know what? That kind of takes a lot of our plans and puts them in perspective, doesn't it? Kind of takes a lot of our goals and dreams and says, wow, how small I dream. How short-sighted are my goals? By the way, your goals and your dreams can be in sync with God's. And you can make plans and you can have goals in this life that bring glory to God and that will ultimately give you meaning in this life. But secondly, notice with me this morning, Jesus offers me a life freed by grace. What does that mean? Jesus offers me a life full of meaning, but Jesus offers me a life freed by grace. What does that mean? Freed from what? In Galatians 5, verse 1, Paul says, Christ has set us free to live a free life. You see, by His grace, God sets us free in Christ. Grace is when God gives you what you need, not what you deserve. Grace is God saying, I love you. I forgive you, even though you can't earn it. By the way, we all need forgiveness. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and that the wages of sin is death. God has to punish sin. He's holy. He will not wink at your sin. Apart from some atonement, some satisfaction of God's justice, He can't just let it go. God's grace is His saying, I forgive you through Christ, even though you can't earn it. Grace is God saying, I'm not mad at you. I'm not holding any longer a grudge because Jesus Christ has suffered for you and for your sin on the cross. Those bloody pictures we saw Good Friday, those bloody pictures of Christ hanging on the cross we saw earlier, He did that to pay for your sin. So that now God's stance is not one of righteous anger toward you because of your sin. It's a heart of love and compassion. Wanting you who were His enemy and who perhaps even today continue to live as His enemy to be His child. Grace is God saying, I'm going to give you a second chance and a third chance and a fifth chance and a 25th chance and a 125th chance. All because of Jesus' death and resurrection. You see, grace from God is the road to freedom. Jesus offers us a life freed by grace. You know what real freedom is? Knowing that things between you and God, listen to me, are not just good, they're great. They're not just great for this moment, they're forever great. You're in 100%. With God. That's a life of freedom. We don't live our lives that way, do we? Apart from Christ. If we think about God, or I should say, when we think about God, we look at our lives and see how we've been doing, how we've been acting, based on even our own standards or somebody else's standards. Probably not God's standards, maybe. Sometimes we know the Word of God and we compare. Oh, it's been a bad day. God doesn't love me much today. We don't ever maybe put these in words, right? Don't feel real good about my relationship with God were someone to ask me because, you know, I've been a bad boy today. Hadn't quite done enough this week. There's no freedom in that. Jesus offers us a life free by grace. In Romans chapter 7, verse 4 and also verse 6, Paul says, "And now you are united with the one who was raised from the dead. As a result, you can produce good fruit, that is, good deeds for God. But now we've been released from the law, for we died with Christ and we are no longer captive to its power. Now we can really serve God, not in the old way by obeying the letter of the law, but in the new way, by the Spirit." You see, when we come to trust Jesus Christ, we just simply say to God, "God, I believe that when He died on the cross and rose again, He did that for me. To be punished for my sins and to give me victory over sin and to help me live a new life just like He does after His resurrection." We're united with the One who raises from the dead. And the result of that is just as Jesus lives and serves His Father today, we can produce good fruit. That is good deeds for God because we're united with Christ. You know, if you trust Him, if you depend on Jesus today, then He has set you free from guilt and the fear of death. We were in 1 Corinthians 15 a minute ago. Let me just read a couple more verses from there. Again, in light of the resurrection, Paul says, "But tell me this." By the way, let me just tell you what's going on. In Corinth, the deal was, the whole reason Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 15 was because in Corinth, some people were saying, you know, this resurrection stuff has gotten out of hand. Everybody was preaching it. That was the main message of the apostles. But then these false teachers start saying, "Listen, y'all come on. This is crazy. A man being in the grave 3 days and then rising again, this resurrection thing, I mean, you know, talk about Jesus, believe that He died on the cross for sins, whatever, but this whole coming back to life after 3 days deal, come on." And Paul says, "Listen." And they started buying in. The Corinthians were kind of like, "You know, that does sound crazy. Now that I stop and think about it, the further I get away from the historical event that I know happened, because I've never seen the body or the corpse of Jesus. In fact, some of them had probably even heard first-hand reports of people seeing Jesus walking around after His resurrection. Nonetheless, they got to thinking, you know, God, well, that does sound crazy. We must be nuts. We believe a guy raised from the dead, and we're calling Him Savior." By the way, that's what you're doing. If you're a Christian today, are you nuts? I hope so. Paul says, "Listen, you got to think about this. Before you start shucking the resurrection and giving it away, Paul says, tell me this. Since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying there will be no resurrection of the dead? For if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ was not raised, then all our preaching is useless. And your trust in God is useless. And we apostles would all be lying about God, for we have said that God raised Christ from the grave, but that can't be true if there is no resurrection from the dead. If there is no resurrection from the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless. And you are still under condemnation for your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ have perished. And if we have hope in Christ for this life only, we are the most miserable people in the world. But the fact is that Christ has been raised from the dead." Paul's saying this. If your Savior is dead, what kind of Savior is He? It didn't work. Death overcame Him. His end was the same as what yours is going to be. What is He? But an enemy. Later in the same chapter, verses 55-57, Paul says, "O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. How we thank God who gives us victory over sin and death through Jesus Christ, our Lord." Yes, you see, Jesus offers us, sets us free from guilt and the fear of death. Jesus, we don't have time to go into explanations of all these things, but Jesus sets us free from hurts that others caused you. From that bitterness, that anger that you can't let go of towards someone else. Jesus sets you free from that because just as He forgave you, listen to me, if you trust Him for God's forgiveness for you, then He will empower you to forgive that person, to let that bitterness go, to get it out of your heart. It's eating you alive. He can take care of that. Jesus sets you free from the expectations of other people. Suddenly you realize, this life is not about what someone else thinks about me. It's about what God thinks about me. And I live to please Him. In doing so, in living to please Him, I will love others. It'll radically change. I won't try to meet their expectations and live to their every whim, but I will live a life of service and love to them. Jesus sets us free from worry, from anxiety, fear. All the stuff that comes because we're not sure what God thinks about us. You ever thought about that? You know why you worry? You know why you get afraid? Because you're not sure exactly how God's relating to you. Not sure if He's in charge of your life. Not sure if He cares, perhaps, right? Not sure if He's paying attention, maybe, to your life. You see, when you realize what God's done for us in Christ, you come to understand. Not that you don't ever struggle with it, but you come to understand. I'm the apple of His eye. If He gave Jesus to die on the cross to be raised again for me, then guess what? He can handle everything else in my life, and He's on the job. He's my Father. Jesus offers me a life free by grace. Does God like you? Does God like you? You know, if you don't understand grace, then you may not really think so. Every religion in the world can be summarized in one of two words, do or done. All religions except Christianity basically say, here's what you must do in order to get God to like you. And then they give you their religious list. Jesus Christ came to earth to say, that's all wrong. That's not it. I'm not into religion. I want you to have a relationship with me. And I've already done it all for you. You don't have to do. You just have to accept what I've already done on the cross and through the resurrection. That's called grace. There's two paths you can choose in life. One's to spend the rest of your life trying to win God's approval by your effort, doing certain things. The other is to enjoy God's approval by accepting what Jesus Christ has already done for you. Yeah. You know what? If you trust Jesus Christ, listen to me. If you believe that your righteousness is in Jesus Christ, and that when Jesus died, He paid for your sins, and that because of Christ, God forgives you of all your sins, then does God like you? Absolutely. You're in Christ. He loves His Son dearly. And if you trust Jesus, listen, He loves you just as dearly. He sees you enveloped, wrapped up in Jesus Christ. In the slave trading years, people would intentionally buy slaves in order to set them free. Those people were called redeemers. They would redeem a slave. Someone would say, slavery is wrong. It's evil. This person deserves to be set free. So they would buy that person's freedom and then they'd let him go. Jesus Christ came to redeem you. To set you free from all the things that keep you hung up and all the things that entrap you. Habits, hurts, hang-ups. All the things that mess up your life. He says, I want to set you free from it and I want to give you a new life of real freedom. Do you want this freedom? Do you long to be bought back from slavery and set free? Jesus offers me a life freed by grace. But finally this morning, Jesus offered me a life full of energy. Does life ever just wear you out? Inside and out?
Amen.
You ever notice that when you're low on energy, little problems become big problems? And all of a sudden what you find in those times is that you're running on your own energy and your battery's about to go out, right? You were never meant to live on your own power. Yet we do it all the time, don't we? We try it all the time. It's no wonder we're tired all the time. God meant for us to be plugged into His power, not to go through life just living on our own energy. Way back in the Old Testament, before Jesus, but in light of His coming, God through Isaiah said this, He gives power to those who are tired and worn out. He offers strength to the weak. Those who wait on the Lord will find new strength. Literally there in the Hebrew it says, they will exchange their strength. They will take their weakness and give it to God and take God's strength and use it for their own. Those who wait on the Lord will find new strength. They will fly high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Zechariah 4 verse 6 says, it's not by force nor by strength this life that we live, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. How are you supposed to get your life done? Whatever that means. Whatever the particulars of that are, it's not by might or by power. It's not by force or by strength in this translation, but by my Spirit. Jesus offers me a life full of energy by His Holy Spirit, who, as we tell little children when they come to Jesus, who lives in our heart. I don't understand all that. You know what? When I tell a kid that, I still don't understand it any better than I did a long time ago. The mystery, the miracle of how God inhabits me by His Spirit, how Jesus truly lives in my heart by Spirit. Don't understand it, but you know what's true? And it's real energy for me when He's with us that way. You know, you've got a choice. You can go through the rest of your life living the good life, disconnect or shooting for the good life, disconnected from God's power, or you can live fully alive, plugged into God's power. Whichever one you choose, know this, you're still going to have problems. If you haven't figured this out yet, life is a series of problems. Amen? The difference is with God in your life, with Christ in your life, you have energy that you didn't have on your own power. He gives it to you on a day-by-day basis. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 16 says, though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. Your bodies are going to die, but we can have an inner energy from the Holy Spirit that is renewed day after day after day. 1 Corinthians 15, again, just a couple more verses from there. Again, all that we read from this chapter in light of and because of the resurrection. 1 Corinthians verse 50 to 53. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50 to 53. What I'm saying, dear brothers and sisters, is that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. These perishable bodies of ours are not able to live forever. But let me tell you a wonderful secret God has revealed to us. Not all of us will die, but we will all be changed. It will happen in a moment, in the blinking of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, the Christians who have died will be raised with transformed bodies. And then we who are living will be transformed so that we will never die. For our perishable earthly bodies must be transformed into heavenly bodies that will never die. You know what? As long as we live, our inner man, our inside person, is being renewed daily by the Holy Spirit. We have fresh energy for living. But ultimately, one day, these bodies that will die, we're going to change them out. God's going to change them out. And we're going to get a body that is forever. What an awesome, awesome salvation. Jesus offers me a life full of energy through the power of the Holy Spirit. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, listen, is available to me for living in obedience to Jesus. God raised Jesus from the dead, and now God says, listen, I'll give you that same energy. I'll work in you by my Holy Spirit with that same kind of power. How strong is that? Dead man, 3 days dead, rises on Easter Sunday morning from the dead and is alive and now is at the right hand of God. That's pretty stout stuff, isn't it? God says, I'll give you some of that stuff. Some of that energy for living. You reckon if He can handle the resurrection of Jesus Christ, He can handle the problem you're facing this morning? The struggle you're in, that relationship you're dealing with,
yeah,
that financial crisis you may be facing, whatever it is that you're dealing with, let me tell you, don't get me wrong, I am not downplaying that problem. It is big in your life. And those that I'm dealing with, they're big in my life, and they're hard, and they hurt, and they're heavy. But compared to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, they're all small potatoes. And if Jesus can raise Jesus, if God can raise Jesus from the dead, folks, He can help you get through, around, over, or whatever it is that you're dealing with. He can do it. Jesus offers us a life full of energy. I don't know how many of you remember the Gaithers. Gaither Vocal Band. Long time ago. They were, let me tell you, when I was a kid, they were old then. They sang a song, though. My grandpa, he was a Methodist, but he loved the Gaithers. And they sang a song called Fully Alive. You ever remember that song? Y'all ever heard that? I'm not going to sing it. The chorus went like this. Fully alive in your spirit. Lord, make me fully alive. Fully aware of your presence, Lord. Totally, fully alive. You see, today you're not here by accident. And if God's got your attention about your life and living it fully alive, then I want you to pray to God with me. Something like this. Let's pray together. Dear God, I want to start living life fully alive with you. I want to start living for you instead of myself as best I can. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for your grace and for sending Jesus to die for my sins. I don't understand it all, but I want to open my life up to you, Jesus, and make you the boss. I want to learn to trust you and live with your meaning, your freedom, your energy. Thank you. Amen. Look up here for just a minute. If you have a book this morning, see if you can find a handout that looks like this right here. I'm going to ask that everyone here, if you can get your hands on one of these, and by the way, at the end of every aisle, if you're sitting there, end of every row of seats, underneath your chairs is some blanks. Look around. If you see somebody in the row that doesn't have one, if you're on the end of the row, could you pass that down so everyone can have one of these? We hardly ever do this, but I'd like to ask you, if you're here today, to fill this out. Your response to Jesus' offer. Jesus offers us a life full of meaning, a life free by grace, and a life full of energy. Fill this out. You can respond with letter A. I'm already enjoying living life fully alive. I want to grow closer to Christ and live even more fully alive. Maybe that's where you're at today. If that's where you are, I want you to fill that out. Put your name to it. Maybe you would say, I'm letter B, Chad. I just prayed that prayer with you and asked Jesus to help me live the rest of my life fully alive in Him. It's your first time to ever really open yourself up to Jesus and ask Him to change your life. That's where you are. If you just prayed that prayer for the first time, just check letter B and put your name there at the bottom. Give us some way to contact you because we want to help you. If you made that decision, we want to help you grow in Christ. We want to help you get to know Him better. We don't have all the answers, but we can lead you through the Scriptures to a closer relationship with Him. Letter C says, this all sounds good to me, but I need time to consider it more. I'd like to talk to someone about Jesus' offer. We respect that. We respect that maybe that's where you are. You're not there, but you're on the edge, and you need a little more information. We've run fast through a lot of stuff this morning. A lot of truth, and you just need to talk a little further about it. I'd love to talk to you about it if you'll just put your name and contact information there. That'd be great. Maybe you're here and you'd say, Chad, let me just tell you, I came because Mama brought me on Easter Sunday. That's the deal, and I'm honest. I'd ask that if that's you, that you'd be that honest and you check letter D. I don't intend to give my life to God because I don't think I need God. I intend to live my life from me. That's where you are. Be that honest and check that statement and put your name there. I want you to know this. We check letter D. We love you. And God still loves you. And we would never do anything to ever hurt you. All we ever would do is pray for you and just ask God to bless your life and change your life. However He sees fit. I'm going to ask you as you leave today that you drop those in the offering plate. You see, you cannot come even on Easter Sunday and be confronted by the resurrected Christ and not respond. Oh, you can not fill that paper out. And that's okay. If you don't fill it out, that's okay. But you know what? In your heart, you've already responded one of those four ways. If there's anything that I myself or our church can do to help you, Crossroad Christian Fellowship, you'll say amen to this. We're here to serve you in that way, to help just walk closer to Christ with you. We're all still learning. This pastor, our elders, none of us have it figured out. But this Easter, we want you to know that we're here for you. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your presence and for your word. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have that you offer us today because of the resurrection, a way to live fully alive. Jesus, you offer us a life of meaning, a life freed by grace, and a life full of energy. Lord, there's none of us here that have all those things down pat. None of us are living as fully as we could be in terms of purpose and meaning. None of us are as free as we should be because of your grace. You still let things hang us up and stumble us, cause us to stumble and trip us. Lord, none of us always lives in the energy you provided, but God, we want to grow in that. God, for those today who check letter B, who prayed that prayer for the first time, oh God, how we pray that your Spirit be poured out on them in a special way today. You'd allow us the opportunity to come alongside them and just encourage them and point them in the right direction in your Word, that they might grow and begin that path, that journey along the crossroad, walking with Jesus in greater surrender and obedience day by day. Father, we love you for loving us first and giving your Son. And we praise your name this morning because Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. And because of that, our lives have been or can be changed. We ask it all in His name. Amen.